reservoirs and municipal water supplies and water sources for organized rural water districts. On 4.4.6, the application says Plains has confirmed the City of Williston Wellhead Protection Area Community Northwest Area Water Supply and the Western Area Water Supply are located within the corridor, plus these six wells which you talked about. Tell me again how the line does or doesn't affect these areas. And if you can be specific, if you know, how big is the wellhead protection area of the Northwest Water Supply and the Western Area Water Supply? How does the line impact them?
Correct. I'll do the best of my ability. I'm going to start with the largest entity, which is the Western Area Water Supply. Mm-hmm. It utilizes a combination of Missouri River water treated at the Williston Regional Water Treatment Plant and groundwater treated at the R&T Water Supply Commerce Authority's Water Treatment Plant in Ray, the city of Ray. This water supply meets the needs of municipal, rural, and industrial users in five northwestern North Dakota counties. They service Williston, Watford City, Ray, Tioga, Stanley, Wild Rose, Crosby, Fortuna, Noonan, and Columbus and Rose. Service area includes five counties, Burke, Divide, McKenzie, Montreal, and Williams, currently providing water to over 70,000 people, estimated to provide water to 160,000 people by 2038. So it's an organization to bring essentially treated water to rural locations.
Yeah, I know what it is, but you've just outlined why it should be a concern if a pipeline crosses into that and could spill, because it provides water to 70,000 people. So how does this line impact that, or how does it not,
since right.
It's been cited as an avoidance area?
I can produce a map that shows the resources that they draw upon, and for the City of Williston Wellhead Protection Community, the majority of the line doesn't cross it. A portion of it falls within the corridor, certificate of corridor compatibility. We have placed consultation calls with those managers, mm-hmm. They responded. Our initial contact was that they're rarely contacted, and that they did not have a concern in our initial consultation. They thought they would get back to us if they had any concerns. So the pipeline, through proper installation, maintenance, and operations, is a contained unit. And unless there was a catastrophic failure, it's my understanding that we would not have an adverse impact to their system of operations.
Is this wellhead protection area defined on a map someplace?
There's a series of maps that shows their piping system. You know, a big part of what they do is pipe water to areas, and then they do have a geographic area that they've identified as potential source water.
And the source water is within the corridor of this line, or where does...
Yes, ma'am.
Where do they merge this line and that infrastructure?
Well, there's a rather large water treatment plant right at Highway 85 and the river, right just mm-hmm. a mile or so from here. And that's a large water treatment facility that's associated with this that has been in development and expansion to meet the current and growing needs. And I believe that's the major source.
Is that in the within the corridor that you studied that you're saying crossed into this, or I'm just trying to look at the map and have you say here's the area where it's relevant.
Right. I believe that's actually outside of our corridor.
Okay. But something is, you've mentioned there are some areas where there is some cross section. So that's what I'd like to just better understand or clarify for the record.
These our resources, why we reported those in the applications we did, is that there are some mapped features that are provided by the North Dakota Department of Health. They're poorly defined. But there are mapped areas from the Department of Health that identified as the City of Williston Wellhead Protection Community that do occur within the corridor, not the survey corridor, not the pipeline alignment, but within the corridor of study area, the okay. 1 mile.
But it doesn't get into the pipeline corridor itself?
Excuse me, it does cross.
So is it possible to, for you, I mean, to show me on the maps where that is, Bill? On these maps of the line?
Sure. Let's go to, we'll get an overview map. Go to the exhibit 2. Appendix B.
Is it exhibit 2 the amended
Correct.
Application?
Yes, okay. ma'am.
Which map are you looking at?
There's an overview map at the beginning of Appendix B of exhibit 2. Correct. Everybody there?
Yep.
So if you follow milepost from milepost 2 to approximately milepost 3, that is one location where we cross Wellhead Protection Area for the City of Williston.
Okay. Because that's a creek that feeds into
Correct.
Trenton Lake, which feeds into the Missouri.
And then if you move further along the line, from about milepost 6.5 to milepost 7. There's a very short crossing there. And then from approximately milepost 7.25 to the terminus would all be within the mapped area of the City of Williston mm-hmm. Wellhead Protection Area.
So there's a few stream crossings there, and I don't know that we got a straight answer. I apologize if I missed it. If they are going to be trenched or HDD on those stream crossings.
Right. That decision has not been made. It will occur during as we get closer to construction.
Are those intermittent streams, or are they there?
The one, I believe, up by 7.25 is intermittent. The rest are potentially jurisdictional, which would suggest that they are more permanent water bodies.
It seems that companies in the hearings that I participated in on the permanent streams almost always directionally drill.
Right.
And, is that and the best, you know, operating procedure for those?
There's a several factors that go into those decisions. Oftentimes, those more permanent water bodies are incised. So in other words, there's a topographic relief associated with them, and the constructability then sometimes combines with the resource consideration to help with the determination to use an alternative construction technique such as an HDD. So those are very common that there's multiple factors, more than one, that goes into a decision for the type of crossing that's employed at any feature.
Why hasn't that been decided yet? That's not going to change. Those conditions aren't going to change.
I think it's in part due to the scheduling and the timing of the project. Some of those decisions are still have some financial and some commodity type situations behind them that leading to those decisions.
Considering their a reason for the inclusion of this project in those wellhead protection areas, doesn't that add additional rationale for the company to do an HDD, which goes, you know, secures the pipe well below the surface, and in my opinion, just provides a better barrier between the pipe and the water?
A properly executed HDD can be done, and at times can minimize impacts. I do think we should point out, not lose sight, that all of this pipeline was entirely within that wellhead protection under its previous alignment. Mm-hmm. So the company has made a significant move to pull the majority of this pipeline a considerable distance from that type of resource. Mm-hmm. So that consideration, you know, is part of the factor of the alignment that we're studying right now.
Right, which is great and a huge positive step and something that I know the locals really appreciate. At the same time, there's all kinds of backwards looking when something goes wrong, and you should have done this, should have done that. So we want to just go the extra mile to make sure it's done as best as possible.
Yep.
And
I would add that a properly constructed crossing, whether it's HDD or an open cut, a traditional conventional installation, is an appropriate way to install pipe across those features. They've been done hundreds of thousands of times across the country without a failure due to the installation type.
Okay. Let's see. So we've covered all of the areas there that I think we talked about, right? Williston wellhead protection, northwest area, the western area water supply, same thing as northwest area, basically.
Yes, ma'am.
And they all are triggered by those crossings that you mentioned.
Correct. The Williams Rural Water District, they overlap just on that tail end from that 7.25 to 8. They have no other interest.
Okay. All right. Thank you for clarifying that.
Yes, ma'am.
Appreciate that. Can you talk at all? I should ask the last witness, Tucker, about this, but I wanted to get a little more information about the abandonment of lines. And specifically, I've heard this talked about before and didn't ask about it. I don't know why. But this inert gas that they put in the line, why does that somehow make it safe to, you know, abandon it after you put this gas in there?
I'm going to talk generally. When they talk about abandoning cutting, capping, and putting laying it in nitrogen, mm-hmm. That's essentially mothballing the pipeline and leaving the opportunity to put it back into service at a later date.
Okay. What function does that nitrogen?
Nitrogen.
What function does that perform?
As an environmental scientist and not engineer, being an inert gas, it's not flammable, not toxic, and I believe what it does is it leaves the pipe. If there's any residual hydrocarbons, it kind of dilutes those, so it's a safer way of mothballing the pipeline when it's out of service.
Okay, so it would prevent, say, if there's a strike from any type of an explosion.
I would presume that it would help reduce that risk if there is even a risk there, yes.
Okay. That's probably its function. So if it leaks out, like Commissioner Crisman was saying?
I don't think it poses a risk if it leaks out. I don't think it changes the composition of pipe or anything like that. It's just a very standard industry practice to lay it in nitrogen, particularly if there's ever a potential to put it back in service.
Okay. And this too maybe should have gone to the last witness, but I hadn't heard this yet in visiting with some of the locals in the during the break, and they were really quick to applaud the company for moving the line out of the Trenton water or Trenton Lake area, and also being amenable to some route adjustments on their land. So that's, I always appreciate hearing those positive comments about companies working with the landowners, so that's great. Just notice that there's been work, a fair amount of work, on the existing 6-inch line the last year or so. And so since the company plans to not use that line anymore, I'm curious why they would be investing in that existing line.
Sure.
Can you speak to that, Bill?
In general, pipelines, when they have a pipeline that's in service and operating, they continually need to maintain it to company standards, DOT standards, and there may have been some maintenance required to conform with DOT or company policy. So they would continue to maintain mm-hmm. that. You don't want to go out of compliance waiting for a replacement, right. So.
Okay. If there's any additional details the company would want to add to that, just to clarify public interest, that might be valuable if you want to come back up after Bill's done. Let's see. I think that hits on all my stuff. Thanks, Bill.
Thank you.
Commissioner Kalk.
Thank you, Your Honor. Thank you, Bill. I had two questions, and Zach asked one of them, so he... Thank you, Zach. The only other question I had was the what are the constraints that the wildlife breeding and nesting habits will put on pipeline construction?
Yes, sir, and that's a great point. U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service has oversight over several different species. As you allude to, there is a Migratory Bird Treaty Act that applies, which is designed to protect those birds that migrate.
I'm just looking for what months you can't build it.
Okay.
I appreciate it, Bill, but I'm ADD.
For the most common ground nesting birds that could be impacted by construction, the typical window is between March 15th and July 15th annually.
Okay, so will the company not, I'm going to rephrase the question, so the company cannot construct during those periods? I'm just trying to bracket down a little bit.
No, sir. Construction is not prohibited, but measures would need to be taken to conform with the Migratory Bird Treaty Act. Such things as doing pre-clearing surveys to ensure that there is no active nesting occurring.
And if there is an active nest, then you can't construct it till that nest is vacated?
Essentially correct. We'd establish a buffer, maintain a buffer until the nest has either been vacated. And there's several ways that a nest can...
So it wouldn't be prudent for us to put something in order that says the company cannot construct, more of a statement that would say if construction takes place in such and such a season, you'll comply with all the appropriate bugs and bunny stuff?
Correct, and I think your orders already cover that by stating that we'll conform with all applicable federal, state, local rules and regulations.
Okay, thanks, Bill.
Yep.
Commissioner Christman. Maybe it's kind of late, but for some of our guests who don't use these terms all the time, if we can just walk through these things, an exclusion area is essentially an area where, for the most part, you can't build, correct?
Correct.
And an avoidance area are areas where you would either need to get waivers or have shown that there was no other reasonable solution.
That is correct.
Okay. And Mr. Gordon said that they're seeking a 50-foot permanent right-of-way, a 100-foot temporary right-of-way, and you said a 200-foot corridor. Can you clarify?
Yes, sir. The commission will issue a certificate of corridor compatibility and a route permit if this project gets approved. We are asking that the certificate of corridor compatibility be 200 feet to conform with the footprint of the environmental surveys. That allows for some adjustments, if necessary, that could occur during construction. What we are anticipating utilizing during construction is a 100-foot construction corridor. That's a temporary impact of 100 feet, and then we will then occupy 50 feet of that as a permanent right-of-way once everything's been built and placed in service.
Okay, and I'm kind of bouncing back and forth, mm-hmm. but these get to a common point. The avoidance area, when it is regarding potentially occupied residences, mm-hmm. which could be homes, they could be businesses, it could be schools, that is a 500-foot setback, correct?
500 feet from the center line, yes, sir.
From the center line of the pipeline?
Correct.
So if it was a 100-foot temporary right-of-way in this case, presuming that's 50 feet from the center line of the pipeline, that temporary construction right-of-way could be 450 feet from a residence without getting a waiver, correct?
Correct. If I'm following you, yes.
And what kind of setbacks are there just regarding neighboring property owners? If the company gets an easement from one property owner for right on the edge of their property, can the permanent right-of-way extend over into the neighbors? Can the temporary right-of-way extend into the neighbors? Or can the 200-foot study corridor stretch over into the neighbors if there's no easement from that neighbor?
I'm trying to put together what you're asking, make sure I'm responding correctly. Any potential occupied structure that falls within 500 feet of the alignment, regardless of whether easement's been struck or not with that particular location, we would seek a waiver.
At this point, I'm kind of past the residences, okay, and just to a neighboring landowner who maybe doesn't want this or just has not signed an easement.
Would the
easement from the neighbor that it has been acquired from, will that need to be 50 feet back, 100 feet? How close can this come to the non-participating landowner?
So if the non-participating landowner doesn't have a structure on their property, right, that could be the case, and our survey corridor crosses them, we would have gotten survey permission. But it could be such that the construction corridor and the permanent right-of-way would not be on their property. There may not be any further discussion with that individual landowner other than perhaps a survey permission request.
So if a landowner hasn't provided either an easement for a pipeline or a survey permission, this would not be even any closer than 100 feet from their property line.
The property line, I suppose the closest could be 100 feet from the property line, yes.
Okay.
I think that's right.
And then the other thing, you said there's no noxious weeds along this route.
Yes, sir.
And if there were noxious weeds, does that make it an avoidance or exclusion area, or what would we do differently if there were noxious weeds?
All right, that's a good point, and we discussed that. Noxious weeds are an important consideration, if nothing else, for landowner relations, and planes would take all reasonable efforts necessary to contain, control those, and avoid the spread of them.
But it would not hinder the construction of the project. It
Correct.
Would just mean additional means are taken to avoid spreading them.
That's correct.
And when was this walked or looked at that you found none?
Correct. We had biological field surveys conducted in May, June, and August.
Sometime when I'm depressed about how much Canada thistle I see all the time, I'll have to drive up there because I find it hard to believe there's 8 miles where I couldn't find any.
Correct.
But so this is a pretty clean area, you're saying?
Correct.
Okay. No other questions. Thank you, Bill.
Thank you.
Okay. Any additional questions for Mr. McCarthy? Ms. Krause?
Not at this time, Your Honor.
Mr. Pelham?
No, Your Honor.
Ms. Prescott?
No, Your Honor.
Commissioners?
No more questions.
No more. Okay. Mr. McCarthy, free to step down. Mr. Bender.
We have no further witnesses.
Okay. There was a suggestion that maybe you might want to call Mr. Gordon back to answer something from Commissioner Fedorchak. Do you want to?
If there's any additional insight that the company wants to offer the on the work that you're doing on the existing line until you replace it. Oh, okay.
Mr. Gordon, I warned you, you'd probably have to come back.
I know. I thought
it's
I was going to get lucky.
It's tough when you get paid the big bucks.
Just a reminder that you're still under oath.
Yes, sir. Would you mind asking your question again so I fully understand?
Sure. During the break, I was visiting with some of the local landowners, and they've noticed the company has been working on the existing line a fair amount in the last year or so. And so since the company's plan is to basically abandon that line when this one is replaced, curious that you're investing a lot of money in there. So if you can speak to whether it's just routine maintenance or any kind of problems that the line might be having.
And I think Bill did a good job explaining generally that, you know, we can't fall out of compliance prior to taking it out of service. And so as the line needs repairs or maintenance, we still have to perform those up until the day it's out of service. So, you know,
okay.
We don't want to just let it go hoping it's going to be okay until we get the new
sure.
one in. We have to, you know, our standards don't change. Mm-hmm. Just because we're getting ready to take that line out of service.
Appreciate that. And then I guess the follow-up question is, are there issues with this line? It's fairly old. Are you seeing more maintenance concerns with this existing line? Have you had any bad pig reports that suggest that there should be concerns with this existing line?
I don't see those reports. That's our integrity group. I just know that they're making repairs on any line that is of a similar age. It seems to be pretty consistent that they're just inspecting it, repairing it as needed to keep it to code.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions for Mr. Gordon while he's back here?
Your Honor, I'll go ahead, Randy.
Okay. Mr. Cock, did you?
I'll let Randy go.
Okay.
He's older and wiser.
Definitely older. When the line is abandoned like that, does it remain the property and responsibility liability of the company, or is it abandoned to the ag landowner?
We still own the line when it's underground like that. Yes.
Okay. That's it.
Okay.
I just have one. This is maybe much for the attorneys as well, but I'm still a little uneasy about the emergency response planning. So I don't know if there's something that you're willing to offer up that you'll file your draft emergency response plan, or maybe that just to open a little discussion here on what your thoughts might be, because right now I'm not content with that.
I understand, Commissioner. I had a brief discussion with Assistant Attorney General Pelham during the break, and we plan on talking more about that in hopes that we can provide something either before an order is entered or perhaps it can be made. I hate to go too far because I haven't cleared this with my client, but perhaps it can be something that's provided the commission at the time of the pre-construction meeting or something along
reasonable.
Those lines.
Something filed at the pre-construction that says PHMSA has blessed the emergency response plan. That would be fine with me, but I just wanted to get that on this record today.
Okay.
So thank you.
Judge, I have one follow-up as well.
Okay.
This
Go
is
ahead.
To Commissioner Christmas. Tucker, we want to make sure your company gets their money's worth out of you today. So
I appreciate that. So do they.
this prompted me to Commissioner Christmas' question prompted this additional question from me, which is, do you if you have the rights to that line, as long as it's in the ground, and the landowner doesn't, so they can't dig it up, say, for example, if they wanted to, then you're responsible for making sure that if it's struck, that there's no chemicals released, that type of thing. Are you responsible for it as long as it exists in the ground? Is that how the company views this? Because I had thought that once they were abandoned and taken out and decommissioned, that the companies were kind of off the hook. But I could be wrong.
And I'm not in a position to answer that specifically.
I guess I think that's a legal question. I'm not sure that he's qualified necessarily to answer.
Can the company provide a legal person who is qualified to answer that? Or
Let me respond by saying that at least in some perspectives, it's governed by the easement, because the easement may have language in it that says if the pipeline is not utilized for a certain period of time, it's considered abandoned and it becomes the property of the surface owner. So, you know, one would have to look at all the easements, but because it, you know, was a, or after it's abandoned, because it was a Plains line, I think there's going to be certain responsibility that Plains is going to maintain even after it becomes abandoned to the surface owner. I don't know if you want much more than that, Commissioner, or if...
Well, it is maybe a matter of law, and it's perhaps something that our attorney can look into as well, since this is an issue that comes up fairly often. I thought I understood it, but I might need some more education on that in terms of... And I think PHMSA has some regulations regarding abandonment as well, but I guess we'll just clear that up as we move forward here.
Well, in the dead space, I'll fill the void here. The practical impact that I think we're trying to get through is that we've had, you know, third-party hits where somebody's hit a pipeline and we can't ever find out who owns it, because somewhere with what you said, Mr. Bender, that's what happens. And so you don't know if you've hit an active pipeline or you've hit an inactive pipeline, and so it's just caused problems. So I don't know. That's something we need to address as a state about, you know, like the database of inactive pipelines. So anything that we can talk about that in other settings would be helpful, but that's the practical with what's happened out there is we hit a pipeline and somebody does and you just can't find out who owns it because it may be 30 years.
Right.
Okay. I think that we're done with Mr. Gordon. Mr. Bender, you said you don't have any additional witnesses.
That's correct.
So are you prepared to rest at this time?
Yes.
I did want to discuss, because I've been making some notes of some things that in the way of either late filed exhibits or something that have been asked about. One was an organizational chart for the company ownership structures.
Or something like that.
Yeah.
But yes.
Okay. Another one was the number of employees in North Dakota.
Yes.
And then there was one on the nearest employees to this site if there was a need for emergency response.
Yep.
What happens if there's a nitrogen breach? We've been talking about that again here. Who's responsible for repair if that abandoned line gets damaged? Winter construction procedures was the fifth one I had. And then we did talk about emergency response again and the plan. So I think you'd want to provide that at some point. I don't know if we want to call those late filed exhibits or how we want to go about that, or in your proposed findings or something maybe.
Yeah, I think one or the other in the proposed findings or in the form of late filed exhibits. We usually submit those to the commission at the same time.
Okay.
So we can do one or the other.
Okay. All right. Mr. Pelham, do you have any witnesses to call or any additional items you want to
present? I do not. I'm just reviewing my notes just to make sure that we covered all of what I would consider to be late filed exhibits. I think we would prefer that as with the possible exception of the emergency response plan being a requirement perhaps in the order that it be provided prior to the construction. But if you just give me a moment, I'm just reviewing your list that you had. I have mine spread out a little bit further than you did, Judge. But I think that we have all of them. Yes, we do. I have nothing further, Judge.
Okay. So at this point, then, I'll ask if any of our members of the public that are out there would like to make any comments to the commissioners. You're welcome to come up at this time and say your piece. I'll just have to ask you a few questions at the beginning before so I can swear you in. First of all, sir, if you would just tell me your name, please.
Steve Oster.
Okay. And Steve, where do you live?
I'm a landowner on the southern end of the project. My farm address there at the farm south of Savage, and the project there is 14781 42nd Street, north, southwest down there.
Okay, and then I'll just ask you, you were here when I gave the perjury admonition, talked about the penalty for perjury this morning. Just ask you to raise your right hand. You promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth in this proceeding?
Yes.
Okay. You can go ahead.
Well, the first I like clarification because you're talking about this language and semantics. In its essence, this is a new pipeline for planes, right?
No, it's a replacement of the 6-inch pipeline.
No, it's not, because you're abandoning line.
You asked me a question, and I gave you an answer.
Yeah.
Okay.
But you're abandoning the line. The route that you're going, you can call it a reroute, but it's actually a new pipeline.
I disagree with you.
Well, Mr. Oster, you don't exactly have the right to ask questions today, but you can go ahead and raise your points, and then if the commissioners want to follow up with questions or the attorneys, they can do that. So, I mean, obviously, what you're trying to say is you're making the point that this is, in your opinion, a new line.
This is actually a new pipeline.
Okay.
Reroute, replace. It's not. It's a new line, and that should be clarified. And so it has reroute portions, maybe replacement portions, but actually it's a new 10-inch pipeline. And then that's not the biggest issue, is that it's what it is it goes past on some of my property in a portion, and it says that on the corridor you have so much easement right away. Well, my contention is on the south side of Savage property, there is not enough easement and land for that corridor. Because if it's with Savage construction next to my property, there is not enough land available on either side there for a proper easement. And I don't know how it's determined what's allowable.
Do they have an easement from you or not? Did they get an easement?
They have an easement on me. When I was first contacted by the agent was that it was a replacement line, and the portion that is replaced on me, a professional baseball player could throw a ball across it. So I have no issue except the fact that it wasn't presented as a new line. It was presented as replacement, since the easement has been in place since 1968, and the land I didn't own previously to then, I don't really have a say then. But if it's new line, it's not really a replacement, and they treated me fairly. But that's why I'm suggesting what's the terminology for the pipeline, new. And then on this portion down next to me, I contend there's not enough land for proper easement for an easement that size of easement.
What are you
dealing without dealing with me?
I'm just trying to figure out what you're suggesting the commission would do here or do differently.
Well, commission is to hear what issues are involved with these pipelines, right? And make determinations if there is encroachment so I guess it's my position to deal with the pipeline company on, but it's my ability to bring this to your attention, correct?
Okay. Yes.
Right. Yes.
Yep. Okay, and is there anything else that you want to bring to their attention today?
And we talk about environmental issues. The only issue I have with the south portion, too, is that the pipeline is in a drain. There's already been a replacement on the line in that area, and it is in a drain. Bar pit, drain, watershed, whatever you want to determine.
Okay.
Going to the west from the south reroute.
Okay. Any other additional points you want to make? Because I'm going to give them the opportunity to ask you.
No, that'd be it?
Yep. Okay. Okay. Mr. Bender, do you have any questions for Mr. Oster?
Maybe just a couple questions, Mr. Oster. Do you currently have a pipeline easement on your property for the old pipeline, right?
Yep.
Okay. And approximately how many feet of easement do you have for the old pipeline?
That's just a very small portion. Like I said, a professional baseballer could throw across it.
Okay. For the current pipeline?
Yep, for the old pipeline.
Okay. And the replacement pipeline, is it approximately the same number of feet on your property for the replacement pipeline?
Yeah, the portion that's being replaced is just that small portion.
Okay, but what I'm trying to determine, I'm not trying to be difficult, I'm trying to determine if there's much greater pipeline on your property now than will be with the replacement pipeline. Approximately the same?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and you said the pipeline has been on that property since 1968?
I think when it belonged to, I think Koch Industries was first put it in.
And did that property belong to someone else when that pipeline easement was executed?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and you bought the property and the pipeline easement was in place, is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and you said you were treated fairly by Plains?
Yes,
okay.
But I was given the assumption it was being a replacement.
Okay.
And in that effect, agreements previous have precedence, so I'm assuming like, well, if I settle, what settlement am I get is adequate because they could just put the pipeline in anyway.
Okay, but you entered into an easement for the replacement pipeline, and you were paid for that easement?
We'll be totally paid if the pipeline goes in.
Okay. You have a situation where you got a portion of the payment up front, and then you get a remainder of the payment when the pipeline goes in.
Pipeline's completion.
Okay. No further questions.
I just have a question for you. When you say how far a professional baseball player can throw, I saw Kirby Puckett one time throw the ball from the 400-foot mark on a strike to home plate. So are you saying 400 feet, or are you saying what I can throw, which is about 80 feet?
Now, professional baseball players.
About 400
feet. Pretty short area.
Okay. Mr. Pelham, any questions for Mr. Oster?
Yeah, I just want to try to understand exactly. I think that I do. So Mr. Bender was asking you some questions, Mr. Oster, about an easement on what you're calling the replacement pipeline. And what I take that to mean as is what we're here about today, the application for this pipeline. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, the language used when people approach you is that, well, we're going to replace here. Well, when you see the whole deal, you term it, well, in actuality, it's a new pipeline.
Okay.
You could say reroute, that's moving the pipeline. You're going to have abandoned pipeline now.
So you have...
Well, I have no issue. You know, when state law dictates what happens to abandoned lines, but I'm just saying that to designate the terms of it is new pipeline.
Right. And as I understand it, there is an existing easement when you purchase your property that existing easement, someone long before you had signed that easement for that pre-existing pipeline. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. So then on this one, just so I'm clear, did you sign an easement with Plains for the pipeline?
Yes.
Okay. So I guess I'm just trying to understand then what the issue is if you signed an easement with Plains.
When you're approached, it should be, it's not, I was informed, well, it's a replacement. Well, yes and no.
I see.
Because the whole existing pipeline is actually a whole new pipeline. Whether you call it a reroute or a replacement on me, it's actually a whole new pipeline.
Okay.
That's.
So then, as I understand, you correct me if I'm wrong, sir, then you're basically, your testimony here is today is you believe that what was represented to you perhaps at the time of getting the easement wasn't,
quite
in your opinion, what was happening.
Yeah.
I see. Okay, thank you, sir. I don't have any other questions for you.
Ms. Prescott, do you have any questions for Mr. Oster?
No, Your Honor.
Okay, commissioners, questions for Mr. Oster? Commissioner Fedorchak.
Thank you, Mr. Oster. I think we've settled out the easement issue. And the approach that the company took that might have been more clear. They could have done it in a more clear manner. but can you get back to the second issue, which is it sounds to me like there is an additional easement that they're requiring from Savage that you think encroaches on your land, and they should be entering into another easement with you on that land?
Yes. The pipeline will be going adjacent to my property, clean from the north, where it cut, and then down through past Savage and then heads west.
Yep.
On it.
So is your land on the...
I don't know what the legal status is how far you're supposed to be from...
But it's on the east side of Savage?
If they go by corridor easement, my contention is they do not have enough. If they don't move over, they do not have enough easement.
But they're not actually putting the pipe on your land, just the corridor would be would be encroach onto your land.
Yes.
Okay. I guess I'm not sure that they need an easement for the corridor, but that's what you're thinking is necessary.
Yes, that's what I bring to your attention.
Okay. Well, we'll have the attorneys talk about that, and you know, if anyone can clarify that for you afterwards, that would be helpful. So okay. You know, thank you for taking time to be here today and sharing your experiences.
Commissioner Chrisman. Commissioner Cox.
It looked like he was getting up.
I thought you were getting antsy to ask a question.
Well, I just thank you, Steve, for your testimony. Do you mind if I walk over to you where you're at and you can show me exactly where your property is at in this map?
Yes.
Do you want to use this one?
Whichever one is fine.
This might be easier. One page.
Which one are we using here?
That's how it looks.
It's on the reroute, page 1 of 4 in
this appendix. Is the smallest portion they cross.
You need it right on there so I know exactly what you're talking about.
This is my small portion they cross on my property that I settle it. But then this is my property here also. So my contention is, what are my rights to ease their corridor going past my property from here, clean, and this is my property here. And my contention is they do not have enough room for their corridor, if it's 100 feet or permanent, what's permanent.
Okay,
to
so
go.
So you own from up here where you put the X to down here in the southwest?
I own this portion here. Neighbor owns this portion, and I own this portion here.
Okay. Thank you. Get back to my spot here. So how far, so your property runs right down, I'm trying to figure out, how much do you think of the corridor goes on your property?
Depends on where they survey from the property lines to.
I'm trying to figure out, I mean, this is for the company, I guess, Dan. How far, how close is the center of the pipeline to your property?
I don't know. It hasn't been staked.
Okay.
So I have no idea.
But you're sure that the corridor goes on your property?
Yes.
How can you know that, not knowing where the center line of it's at?
Because I live there and I know the property that Savage has and what's built there already on the south portion.
I'm confused, Steve. You don't know where the center of the, and I'm not trying to put you in a, well, I am trying to figure it out. You don't know where the center of the pipeline's at, but you're sure the corridor is in your property. I'm wondering how you can't know those two. Do you see what I'm asking? You don't know exactly where the pipeline's at, but you're sure the corridor that would be 100 feet away from the center of the pipeline is on your property.
Yes.
But wouldn't you have to know where the center of the pipeline's at to know where?
They have an existing pipeline there already.
Okay, so you're saying that you know 100 feet from the existing pipeline is on your property.
Yes.
Okay, that makes better sense then. And so what would you like? Would you like the corridor to be adjusted off your property?
I don't think it cannot be adjusted off my property.
Not for the existing pipeline, but for this pipeline, we could do that. Not saying we would, but there'd have to be a reason why we'd do it. And
it would encroach into Savage's already built terminal.
Okay. So the one of the things that the corridor gives a company is the ability to, when we approve a corridor, let's say, we put a pipeline route and then a corridor 100 feet. Once their corridor is approved by us, they have a lot of flexibility to move inside that corridor if something weird happens during construction. But if you have not given them an easement, even though the corridor, let's just say it does end up being through your property, they could never build in your property. Because the corridor doesn't give them the right to go on your property. It gives them the right to use that place, but not, they, you still have to approve the easement unless they'd go to court or something. But I'm just trying to, because your concern is that they might build in your property without approval? Or your concern is that you just don't want the corridor?
Well, I'm just saying, bringing it to your attention that, you know, for the existing court, for, I don't know how that's handled. I just bring it to your attention that
Okay, well, I'm trying to see if you want us to resolve something here, like move the corridor or something like that. You just want to bring it to our attention?
Yeah. It's impossible to move the corridor.
We can restrict the corridor down. I mean, there's a lot of things we can do.
You can't make it. Yeah, you can't make it.
We can make the corridor.
Can't make it any different than where it is at.
For the existing pipeline?
Or for the new built one.
Okay. Yeah. All right, I think I understand your concerns. Thank you, sir.
Commissioner Christman?
I think I was able to see from a distance well enough, but since it's not really on our record, the Savage property that you're talking about, is that area along the east side of that rail, of the circular rail facility, correct?
Yes.
And then your property is on the east side of that?
East side.
Correct.
North and then on the south.
Okay.
End.
And what facility does Savage have there that convinces you that they couldn't move far enough to the west in order to put this through?
Closest thing going past there is their rail terminal, their rail itself, and then the road, existing road coming into it, and then other facilities they have.
How far would you estimate the rail line where it gets closest to your property? How far would you say that is from your property line?
I don't know. I've never measured or anything.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, Mr. Pelham.
One clarification for the record. I just want to make sure that it's on the record that we were looking at Exhibit 2, Appendix B, the aerial map, Plains Pipeline aerial map, page 1 of 4, is what we were referring to earlier. Mr. Oster, the survey quarter, did Plains get an easement to do its survey study, like for cultural resources? We were talking about environmental. Did they, presumably they got that from you to survey within that portion of your property that we're talking about?
On the way north portion, there's no environmental study or anything. That was because it's an existing pipeline.
Okay.
So there's nothing to actually survey or study on it.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, anything else for Mr. Oster? I think we've got your point, and I think we understand. Thank you with your help. Thank you, for showing us on the map and everything. I think that helps us understand what you're talking about.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Anybody else? Come on up. Sir, what's your name?
Roger Pierce. I didn't sign that.
Okay, we're going to need.
But I'll sign it later.
Okay. Yep, I'll need you to sign, Roger. I'll get your address from you. You can go ahead and sit down over there. And Roger, would you spell your last name for me, please?
B-E-A-R-C-E.
Okay. And you're here today representing yourself?
Myself.
Okay. Do you live near the area?
I have some land in that corridor.
Okay. Why don't you give me your street address?
4314 147th Avenue Northwest, and that's Williston.
Okay, now I'll ask you to raise your right hand. You promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth in this proceeding?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Go ahead now, and you can tell us what your concerns are.
I don't know if I should say this with the cameras running, but I want to thank the Plains Pipeline for moving that corridor for me, rerouting the pipeline to make it more make it better for my piece of land up there. My concern and my first question is, last year you put in a pipeline, a new segment of that pipeline to go around Savage rail yard. And I was wondering if that is a 10-inch, did you put in a 10-inch line at that time, or is it a 6-inch line? And that's the far west, pretty close to mile marker one. That was one of the questions I had. And Steve mentioned this before, but when you put in that new segment, you went in the bottom of a drainage ditch. And I was wondering if that is a 6-inch line, if you could move that farther to the north to take it out of that drainage ditch. Right now, when they put the pipeline, when they filled it back in, it's a little higher than what it should be. And with the hard rain, it has a tendency to drown out some of my crop there. Be glad to show you on a map what I'm talking about if I had one.
Mr. Becker, you wanna?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, thank you.
I don't know what map is best for this.
Probably the colored one would.
Yeah, but where on the line are you talking about?
Close to one, mile marker one. I think that's what the one was on there.
Would this be better?
Yep, that'd be fine. Yeah, now this is the portion here from right here. I don't know if you replaced all of this or not. Over the pipeline used to go straight across to here. So they replaced from approximately here, and I'm not sure how far that is. But the drainage ditch is right here, and it goes this way and this way. And I'm not sure how they went here, but I know on my piece, this is my property here. From here on over, it's in the middle of a drainage ditch that drains all of this. So if that isn't an existing 10-inch pipeline already, I would like to see you move that over and getting it off of that drainage ditch. And that's it. That's all I had.
Okay, we might have some questions for you. So, Mr. Bender, do you have any questions for
No, I don't have any questions, but I'm going to request that we take a very short break after he concludes his testimony so I can talk with my client and see if we want to put somebody on to address those issues.
Okay. Mr. Pelham?
I don't have any questions. Thank you, sir.
Commissioners, any questions or comments for Mr. Bierce? Commissioner Fedorchak?
I don't have any questions for you. We'll hopefully get some answers from the company on your two questions, but I do want to thank you for coming, Roger. I've known Roger for a good portion of my life. In fact, when I was a kid, I was shipped out to Williston most summers to spend with my sister to get out of my mother's hair. And during those times, I also was forced to take care of Roger's children. So I was cheap labor. So anyway, appreciate you coming out here and sharing your concerns and observations from a local landowner and for working with the company on this project and getting the easement the way it works for you as well. So thanks, Roger.
Commissioner Kalk.
You're welcome. No, thank you.
Mr. Chrisman.
Yeah, thanks. Our attorney's seen the spots you were talking about and such, and so.
Okay. It's a little outside the scope of this particular application, but I think that we'll take a little break and you guys can talk about it. Is there anybody else today that was going to plan to testify? I don't think I see anybody. So, okay, we'll take about a 5-minute break here, and we'll come back on the record if we need to.